Hey everyone.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Corey and Sarah here.
Hey.
We're just popping on to let you know about an event we have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday, we are doing a screening at Maya Cinemas in Bakersfield, California. If you're in the area, please join us. We're doing a double feature this time. What movie, Sarah?
Well, we've teamed up with Eli Roth
yes,
to bring you Blood Rage and Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, he totally approves this.
Oh, yeah.
He's really into it. He might. He could be there.
He could be there. You don't know until you buy a ticket and show up and see who you're sitting next to.
Yeah.
It could be Eli Roth.
It could be him, or it could be the director of Blood Rage.
Yeah.
Don't remember his
name.
Or
it could be one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know.
That's pretty likely.
It could happen. Again, you won't know until you go.
Yeah, so that is going to be 6 p.m.
Sunday, November 19th.
November 19th. And you can purchase tickets by going to our Instagram, going to the link in our bio,
mm-hmm.
and purchasing them from the Maya Theater.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. We hope to be able to do this kind of stuff more often. And like, if we can sell a lot of tickets, then we can do a lot of fun movies. We already have a lot of cool ideas for stuff coming up.
Yep. And there will be some swag.
Yeah. Free stuff.
So everybody likes that.
Yeah. And who knows what else? Some tricks, some treats. Right?
Yeah. Some Thanksgiving tricks and treats.
Some blessings or punishments? What's the opposite of a Thanksgiving blessing?
A Thanksgiving curse.
Oh, shit. Are we doing curses?
No.
Okay. Again, you won't know. You don't know until you go. But probably not. Unless you guys want us to do them.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay. Yeah, hope to see you there. Join us.
And to get you excited, we are going to rerun our episode on Blood Rage.
Hell yeah.
It's a favorite of the pod.
Yeah, we love it.
We love it. Hope you do too. Hope you come out and say hi to us.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Well, we're thankful for you.
Yes, we are thankful. Turkey noise, turkey noise, turkey noise. Did we do a turkey noise last year?
Probably.
Let's do it.
Gobble, gobble.
Do it.
Gobble. Gobble.
Okay. Okay. Hope to see you there.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome to Gag Me with the Chainsaw, a horror podcast about 80s slashers. I'm Corey.
And I'm Sarah.
And we love scary movies.
But we hate pilgrims.
Why would you say that, Sarah?
What?
Is it because we're talking about a Thanksgiving slasher?
No, I'm just always thinking about how much I hate pilgrims.
That's understandable.
What's been going on, Corey?
Oh, you know, just been watching some scary movies like normal.
Anything of note?
Well, a couple we watched together, or at least watched the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
We watched Slumber Party Massacre, the remake, sequel.
Remake? I guess.
Well, it's technically a sequel, right?
I guess, except for that the original, or like the murder that they're coming back from, wasn't one that we ever saw, right?
Right. It's just very similar.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's under the Slumber Party Massacre name.
Right.
It was the remake for Sci-Fi.
Did you enjoy this movie?
I liked it so much.
I enjoyed it, too. At the beginning, I was really skeptical. I was like, oh, I'm not digging this. But then when I realized, this is mostly comedy.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was really fun. There was like a fun gender switcheroo.
Yes.
I really liked it.
And I would definitely recommend watching the first two movies at least if you're going to watch it, because there's so many references that I think it makes it more enjoyable.
Yeah. We get the return of our beloved Space Baby t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let me buy the merch. I'm ready.
Yeah, we get the shower scene, but like you said, it's a gender swap. Uh-huh. Just like shows how ridiculous it really was.
Yeah, there's a pillow fight scene with a group of dudes. It's so fun. It's really cute, actually. I really liked it a lot. So much more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
So check that out if you can.
What else did you watch?
I watched Lamb.
I saw this one as well.
What did you think?
I liked it. I would say it's barely a horror movie.
I felt a lot of dread watching this movie, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Lamb is about this, what are they, Norwegian?
I think so.
Couple that they end up with this baby that is half lamb, half child.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason told us that it was because the husband fucked the lamb. And we were like, remember that? You were over here and he goes, doesn't the husband fuck the lamb? And that's how come that baby's born. And we were like, is it? And so then when we were watching it, I was so nervous. I was like, please don't let that be the thing. I don't want to see that. That's so gross.
Yeah, luckily that was not the case.
That's not the case. But I thought it was really good. I liked it. I understand why you would say it's barely horror, but
yeah, it was a well done movie. I don't know. It seemed more of a drama to me, but
it was very eerie.
Yeah.
I thought atmospheric. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like freaking out about their animal child. And I'm like, what's the big deal? I have an animal son. Who cares? Big deal. The end made me say, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And it also made me really sad. Like, I got up in the night and I cried about it.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was like, couldn't sleep. And I was just feeling really down. And I woke Jason up and we were just talking. And I was like, and the end of Lamb made me really sad. So I felt a lot of emotions. How many emotions did you feel?
At least three.
That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good.
There was that one comedic scene where the brother comes to visit and he used to be in a 80s band.
Oh, yeah. They
watched. That was like the only comedy throughout the whole movie.
They watched one of his old music videos. Yeah. I was like, this is a pretty good song. He was cute, too, I thought. At first, he showed up and I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this stranger is going to come blow up their spot about their lamb baby.
Yeah, not a lot of dialogue in this film at all.
No, it was mostly like long vista shots of Norwegian wildernesses.
Yeah, very A24.
Totally. I feel like I would go bananas living in that situation because they go to bed and it's like fully daytime outside.
Yeah.
And nobody's using blackout curtains. That's not realistic.
I like to wake up with the sun. I feel so like refreshed when it happens.
Yeah. Their circadian rhythms have got to be a fucking mess.
I also watched The Night House. I really enjoyed it. It had a lot of cool visual things. I thought the story was pretty good. I would say check that one out. I feel like it came out and I didn't really hear that many people talking about it.
I have it. I'm going to watch it. I've been meaning to. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Mm-hmm.
I am still watching the Chucky series on Sci-Fi, and I think it's airing on USA as well. And they've been putting the episodes on YouTube and then they pull them down like after a couple of weeks. I fucking love it. I think it's so good.
I've watched the first two episodes and I enjoyed the second episode, I think, more than the first. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just getting better. They're doing some really cool stuff in it. And man, I don't know if I said this last time we talked about it, but I still get that same fucking like when Chucky starts moving around, I get like stressed. But I'm sticking with it. And I think they're going to start bringing back characters from the franchise. So that's going to be fun. Like, I know Jennifer Tilly is involved and I'm into that.
Yeah.
And I just like it so much. I'm like, if 8-year-old Sarah could see me now, she would be like,
wow.
Wow. Our ass got fat. And also, you are so brave. Oh, my God. Last night I was dreaming about Charles.
Oh. Good dreams, bad dreams.
Well, first we were like in conflict. He was trying to get me for three movies, and then he decided that it was easier to just be part of the family. So, like, we had an uneasy truce, and he lived in the backyard at my Nana's house and drove around in a big wheels Jeep. And why have they not put Charles in a big wheels Jeep yet?
Oh, that would be really good. Wait, did they? No.
I can't remember. I just watched.
Because there was that one of the sequels where it's like at a toy factory. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, I just watched that one. It doesn't happen. But, I mean, they put Gizmo in a little car. So, yeah, he was living in the backyard at my grandma's house. I was, like, pretty worried about going back there still, but it was all right. Sometimes the dogs would get him and rough him up a little, and he hates that. And I don't know why we haven't seen that either, because I feel like if you catch Charles off guard with a big enough dog, that would be the end of it for him.
That's true.
All right.
So let's get into Blood Rage.
Let's do it.
Had you seen this movie previously?
I had not. Have you?
Yes. Mm. I've seen it a couple times.
Do you see it under the Blood Rage title or one of the alternate titles?
I had first heard of it as Blood Rage, but when I watched it this time, I think the other times too, it has the slasher.
Mine says slasher title too
on it.
This movie was released in 1987, and it is known as Blood Rage, aka Slasher, aka Nightmare at Shadow Woods.
Do you have a preference for those titles?
I like Blood Rage.
I like Blood Rage too.
Yeah, it makes sense. A lot of times these movies are really inexplicably titled, mm-hmm. but I like that one. I get it.
And it was released in 87, but it was actually shot in 83.
What was the holdup?
I don't know. But I read that it was shot in 83.
They said the public isn't ready yet.
Yeah.
We picked this movie because gobble gobble. It's Thanksgiving time.
Yes.
There's not a lot of Thanksgiving horror movies.
No. I only know of a couple. What's the one with the turkey? Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Well, maybe next year.
It's not 80s, I don't believe. Oh,
okay. A reprieve.
This one's definitely superior.
This movie was directed by John Grismer. He also directed Scalpel from 1977 and wrote and produced 1973's The Bride. Have you seen either of those?
I have not, but at the beginning of this movie, they're at the drive-in and the marquee says, mm-hmm. The House That Cried Murder, and I looked it up to see if it was a real film, and it is The Bride.
Yeah.
Alternate title. Yep.
This is starring Louise Lasser as Maddie. She plays the mother. She's been in a ton of stuff. Frankenhooker, Requiem for a Dream. Those are the two that really stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Also stars Mark Soper as Todd and Terry, the twins. He was also in The World According to Garp and White Oleander.
I saw that and I tried to remember the character, but mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Me neither. I was hoping you would remember. We were just talking about White Oleander a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I have for the cast, except for a minor character with an interesting career. Ed French, who plays Julie's date, Bill, he is who I will be referring to as this Pete Buttigieg looking motherfucker. Ed has spent most of his career behind the scenes as a makeup special effects artist.
Okay.
This guy's a double threat.
Did he do any of the special effects for this movie?
Yes.
Oh, well, good job, him.
Yeah. His resume is long. He's worked on a lot of great movies. Mm-hmm. Sleepaway Camp, Chud, Vampire's Kiss, T2, White Chicks, Walk Hard, Paul Blart Mall Cop, Sinister 2, and yeah, he did do the effects for Blood Rage.
Respect.
Yeah, man. His resume is a mile long. I couldn't believe it. I had to narrow it down to the stuff I liked the most, like White Chicks and Paul Blart. So anyways, let's get into my analysis of this movie.
Let's go.
Yeah. Move over, Patty Duke. Get fucked, Haley Mills. There's a new one guy playing two guys in town. Okay, we open on a drive-in movie theater in Jacksonville, Florida, playing The House That Cried Murder, a.k.a. The Bride. All the French kissers are pulling in, including a couple on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how do you go to the drive-in on a motorcycle? That doesn't seem comfortable. You're just going to sit in the back. How are you going to pass
the popcorn?
I feel like,
can I get a discount if I do that?
Right? Yuck. You can't even make out.
Yeah.
And then bam, movie title, Slasher,
mm-hmm.
in bold red letters with slashes through them.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the credits are in this same style.
Mm-hmm.
This looks so fun. It really sells the drive-in movie theater.
It does.
Right?
They're walking through. We got all the usual drive-in suspects, like the condom salesman.
Yes.
In the bathroom.
Yes. Who is Ted Raimi making his movie debut.
Nice.
Yes. Popcorn is popping. Everyone is making out or in a smoke circle.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a great time.
And this whole time they have a really fun synth song.
Yeah.
That kind of plays throughout the whole film.
Yeah. Man, this looks fun. I mean, I had fun when I went to the drive-in like a couple months ago, but dang.
This not the same.
Early 80s drive-in was a whole other beast. The movie focuses on one couple in a car making out. It is 1974. And his shirt is all the way open. This guy came to the movies halfway undressed. The lady in the couple, she's not sure if they should continue to try for home base because her twin boys are in the back of the station wagon. She looks back there and decides that they can go ahead and hump quietly. Todd and Terry are in the back. They are identical twins. Terry is actually not asleep and sees his mother, Maddie, and her date making out in the car. Upset that his mother is back at it again, he wakes his brother and they sneak out of the car. The back of the station wagon has the trunk that opens like a door.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pop that open, jump right out. She's busy, so she doesn't notice. Apparently triggered by his mother's promiscuity, Terry takes a hatchet he finds in the bed of a truck and walks up to some teens having full naked penetrative sex in the back seat. Were you shocked by this? I was like, is that how it really was?
I'm sure it happened.
They have all their clothes off.
Yeah, that happens a couple times in this
movie. I know, but that is like in public. Yeah. Very risky.
Yeah.
Terry sticks his head through the window and watches gleefully until the guy notices him and starts yelling at him to go away. Terry takes his hatchet and starts chopping at him. Blood flies everywhere. It splashes a full tub of popcorn.
Yeah, that was a great shot.
I fucking loved it. The girl is screaming and she runs away with her buns out, takes mm-hmm. off right towards the screen. Terry frames Todd by smearing blood onto him, onto his hands, onto his cheeks, and placing the hatchet into his hand. And then he starts screaming, "Oh my God, why? Mom, mom!" Todd is too traumatized to speak in his own defense. He's found guilty and committed to an asylum. And I feel like any halfway decent blood spatter expert would be able to say, no, this other kid did it. The one that has blood spattered all over the front of his shirt and his arms.
Yeah, they just went by Terry's testimony, I guess, since the other one didn't want to speak up.
Yeah. A little interesting fact about this is that the teen that gets hacked in this scene is an actor named Brad Leland. And he goes on to play Buddy Garrity in the Friday Night Lights TV show.
Hmm.
He had a pretty big role. Did you watch that show?
No.
Oh, it's really good. Sidebar. It doesn't look like him at all, though. Like, when I watched it the second time, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch with my, like, I know who this guy is. Uh-huh. I still couldn't see it.
So 10 years later, Maddie's visiting Todd in the institution on Thanksgiving Day. She learns Todd is just now starting to remember what happened the night of the drive-in. So the doctor, Dr. Berman, tells her that Todd said Terry actually committed the murders. And she starts freaking out. She does not want to believe that. Mm-hmm. She starts saying, no more tests. My children are not guinea pigs.
She goes, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
No, no. She's not trying to hear it. She does not want to face the truth.
Yeah, so they get kind of get her to calm down, and then Todd enters the room, and she gives him a slice of pumpkin pie, and she's really just treating him like a child.
Yeah, thanks a lot for this little one fucking piece of pie, yeah. By the way.
When she doesn't believe him, he smashes the pie and throws it at the wall, and then he's restrained by the staff.
He's smashing it up between his fingers, and his yeah. mom is, like, catching it under his hands and, like, making, like, she's trying to put it back together.
So meanwhile, Terry is playing football with a group of friends and his girlfriend, Karen, at the apartment complex where he lives happily with his mom.
This is a traditional Thanksgiving Day football game.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this IRL?
Not actually. I know people that do this, but it wasn't my family.
I wrote that I did not think that this really happened, that maybe in places like New Hampshire, but I don't know because I don't know what they do over there. And Jason was like, no, it's been done in California. And I said, okay, did you do it? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, why didn't you just say that? Okay, I'll add that to the Wikipedia. This has been done in California.
Yeah, so they're playing football. The new neighbors, Andrea and her mom. What is her mom's name?
I don't know.
Julie or something.
Nope, that's not Julie.
Oh. They introduce themselves to Terry, and Andrea is clearly attracted to him. Or Andrea. I think they call her Andrea.
Andrea. Yeah. Yeah.
So he invites her to play football and then later to Thanksgiving dinner.
Andrea is a perk about living in this complex. Besides the indoor pool, she power walks with no bra on, shows her pokies, not just the nip, the areola too.
Maddie and her boyfriend Brad at dinner, they announce their engagement. This clearly upsets Terry, although he kind of fakes it. He congratulates them and he leads a toast to the new family.
He picks up a full glass of whole milk.
I noticed that too.
Everyone else raises glasses of what appears to be piss.
So they start digging in, conversating. We learn that Andrea is a party girl. Karen becomes a little jealous when Terry acts overly friendly to her.
Mm-hmm.
So then Maddie gets a call from the school and finds out that Todd has escaped.
Yes.
She's all upset. She tells Terry, but tells him not to tell the others because she doesn't want to spoil Thanksgiving. But bitch-ass Terry immediately tells everyone that his psychotic brother is out and is probably going to meet the family.
Yeah. He comes back to the table and boyfriend asks, is everything okay? And mom throws open that little shutter divider that's between the kitchen and the dining room.
Excuse you, fiance.
Oh, yeah. He's her fiance now. And goes, hot bread, everybody. And yeah, that's when Terry's like, oh, looks like you're going to get the chance to meet the rest of the family.
Yeah. Brad is very supportive. He was like, very nice guy. He was just very comforting to her. She's like, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah. Mom is shook that he spilled like about this that she told him not to. That kind of like breaks up dinner. And mom goes to her bedroom to pull herself together. Brad goes in there and they kind of start making out, and Terry spies on this and he is triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Dating as a single mom looks really hard. She's always telling dudes that maybe she shouldn't bone because her kids are close by. And also, I cannot believe this man is trying to have Thanksgiving sex. Like, is he not full?
Yeah.
I bet it's the major holiday with the least amount of sexual activity on the day. Right? Like, Easter maybe coming in second. Not a very sexy holiday, but particularly that one. I mean, my dad would wear sweatpants to the table on Thanksgiving. Like, I also think that we should talk about now that we've met both twins.
Mm-hmm. So I told Sarah that when I watched this, I was convinced it was two different actors because I found one of the twins hot and the other one not.
I also found one of the twins hot and one of them not. And I thought there's no way that we don't have the same guy.
Okay.
So 1, 2, 3. Who's the hot one? Wait, let me remember which one is which.
Okay.
Okay. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Todd. Yes! We can still be friends.
Woo, that was a close one. I got real concerned.
Terry's Bill Maher hair. I just can't.
What is... This man looks like Buffalo Bill.
I really thought it was a different guy.
Yeah. I mean, he just is really... What's the word I'm looking for? He is deep inside the characters of Terry and Todd to just make them two different individuals.
Give him an Oscar.
One has hair brushed forward. One has hair brushed backwards.
One has bad posture, which apparently we like.
We like that. He's just so gentle.
Yeah.
So Dr. Berman and her assistant Jackie arrive at Shadow Woods in search of Todd. Hot Todd. At this point, they have dropped what's been going on during the movie, which is Dr. Berman's voiceover, which I figured was going to go through the whole movie, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So Jackie and Dr. Berman show up And they go right up to Terry's mom's house, knock on the door, pull Terry out and go, "We got him." And we can tell Todd and Terry apart. How come they can't?
Yeah. Nobody else can in this movie.
Fiance Brad leaves to help them navigate the grounds and then goes back to his office. Brad has a print of that one drawing that has the hand holding up a reflective orb in his office.
M.C. Escher?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit. This image was very popular to do in my junior high art class to, like, really show off.
Yeah.
You know? Somebody always did it, and everybody was like, wow, you should do this for a living.
Yeah. He owns the apartment complex, too. Yeah. So
he's balling.
What a catch.
Mm-hmm. I know. And she's kind of a weird lady, so good for her.
Yeah.
Terry creeps up on Brad in his office because Brad is dumb and has his office chair and desk situated so his back is to the sliding glass door.
Mm-hmm.
Terry knocks. Brad turns around and is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Terry slices his hand off with a machete. The hand goes flying to the ground, still holding the beer can that he had, and it's wiggling.
Yes.
Blood is spurting out of Brad's wrists. And it's almost like one of those Saturday Night Live sketches from the 70s. Like the Julia Child one is just everywhere.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dr. B and her assistant Jackie are searching the grounds for Todd. Jackie tries to lure Todd out by offering him weed.
Yeah, so dumb.
It would get me.
Okay.
What y'all smoking on? He walks away to go have himself a seat on a patio, and he's singing to himself, "He's a lunatic on the floor."
Like, you could have, I guess for copyright reasons, you don't want to say maniac.
Yeah, but also Jason said that, and I was like, yeah, but sometimes you just make up a little song that's like close to the original one. It's just fun. He's just having a good time. Terry walks up while Jackie is sparking up a doob, and he greets Jackie before murdering him with his machete.
Yeah, Jackie lets it slip that Dr. Berman knows that Todd is not the killer.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Whoops. He murders him after he smokes some of Jackie's weed, and major faux pas. That is not good circle behavior.
No.
While this happens, Mom is sitting on the floor in front of the fridge eating Thanksgiving leftovers.
Cold fists of corn and green beans.
This bitch looks like Baby Jane at this point.
Out of all the leftovers to eat cold.
I know. That's what we were saying.
Why go for a handful of corn?
She puts her whole fist in her mouth when she eats the green beans.
She also pours herself wine, like a glass to the very top.
Yeah. So we're kind of seeing what Brad sees in her at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after, Terry finds Dr. Berman and cuts her in half with his machete in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Her upper and lower body are like 4 feet apart. She's screaming and her low legs are kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Terry comes home, discards his bloody t-shirt and changes. When Terry's changing, he has some of the blood on his shirt and he tastes it and he goes, "It's not cranberry sauce."
The iconic line. It's not
everybody
cranberry
was saying
sauce.
I mean, I know that we went wild.
I think that's what really makes this a Thanksgiving classic.
Yeah, absolutely. Mom is alone in the house and she is doing every obsessive behavior. She's binge eating. She's binge drinking. She's binge cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to call Brad at his office and we see the phone is ringing, but Brad has been killed by Terry. So Terry then goes to visit the neighbor with the pokies, Andrea. She's babysitting. She wants to drink vodka and tomato juice. Terry only wants tomato juice because he doesn't drink.
It makes sense to me.
He's California sober.
Yeah.
He smokes weed, but he doesn't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know more about this baby's parents.
I was so confused about, because that was her. Okay, I'm getting confused. So the lady that went on the date was not her mom?
No.
Okay, that's
because she's like, we can go to my house, and they go to a different house.
Okay, I got it.
There's some confusion about that. The movie is like not really clear, but there's an older woman with her that I think is her mom.
Yeah.
Earlier
okay.
in the movie. This is just a neighbor, I assume, but they're like pretty tight with her.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea attempts to seduce Terry, but he seems uninterested. He's like, let's see what's on TV.
Yeah.
Before Julie and her date, Bill, arrive home. Bill looks just like Pete Buttigieg. He looks so much like him, but he's like kind of weaker chinned.
Uh-huh. A little Mr. Bean thrown in.
Sure. Meanwhile, Terry's friend Karen bumps into Todd, who has arrived at Shadow Woods, and she believes he is Terry because they all have Terry blindness. When Todd reveals his true identity, she kind of panics and she goes, "So you're home for the holidays, huh?"
Oh, yeah. So she asks him if he's being quiet because he's high. She's like, "You always get real quiet when you're high." And then he doesn't even reply, but she tells him she loves him and she wants to make wants him to make love to her.
I thought that she was going to break up with him. And I was like, oh, man, she's going to have to do this again when she realizes it's not her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But no, she's ready to do it. This is an act of desperation because, you know, he's over at Sexy Andrea's house.
Maybe it was because she's like, whoa, Terry's looking really hot today.
Maybe. Or maybe it's because she was like, you know, Thanksgiving is the sexiest holiday.
Everyone knows.
Everybody's boning tonight. So she flees to tell her friends. She also tells Terry, who immediately disappears into the night in search of his twin brother, while Karen and their friends Greg and Artie go to Andrea's house to party.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Maddie is drinking wine, stress vacuuming, and she becomes increasingly worried about Brad and asks Terry to find him. And she's like, but put on a sweater first. The blue one. We should talk about her acting. She's in a totally different movie.
We will.
So Todd comes across Dr. Berman's body and becomes emotional. He takes Dr. Berman's gun and goes off in search of his mass murdering twin brother.
He picks up her legs with her little white pumps on the feet and he tries to put her body back together with the top part.
At this point, he runs into a little girl who's looking for her cat and he tells her to go home and lock her door and not to let anyone in no matter what. Back at Andrea's, Karen is learning how to shoot tequila while the boys play video games.
Andrea says, let me show you my special method.
Yeah.
And it's just the method.
Salt.
Yeah. And lemon. I bet you didn't invent that. She's a big talker.
Yeah. The boys ask the girls if they're all right. And Andrea says, oh, sure. Just talking about the bad old days when the guys were horny all the time. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have Julie, the woman on the date with Bill. She goes to slip into something more comfortable.
She is not stressed about being a single mom and dating.
No.
Good for her.
She has a plan.
Yeah. She lets Pete Buttigieg drink a shot of coconut liqueur before she tells him to read the bottle again. And it's what? Massage oil?
No, I think they were all little liqueurs.
No, she tells him read it again. And then the implication is that it goes on her because she's like, I thought you would like a little appetizer.
Oh, I missed that.
And I was like, what? If you had to drink a shot of a flavored massage oil, what would it be? I think I would go coconut.
Yeah.
Wild cherry?
No.
New car.
Vanilla.
Vanilla. Yeah, probably safe.
So Jill goes to put on some lingerie and she tells her baby she's going to get her a rich daddy. Or was it a girl baby? I don't know. But when she opens the front door to look for Bill, she just sees his decapitated bloody head hanging from like an extension cord.
Yeah, she comes back in an outfit that does not look a little more comfortable. And he is not there. The doorbell rings. She looks out the peephole and she's like, Bill, you're so silly.
Yeah.
And then she opens the door and
the baby starts crying and Terry approaches Julie.
Yep.
And then we cut to Todd finding his mom passed out and he carries her to bed. Drunk, she mistakes him for Terry, but he kind of just plays along.
He goes into Todd's room and or into Terry's room and he looks at the room that should have been his.
Yeah.
He's like, this is Todd's one fun dangling sneaker. This is Todd's assault rifle. Todd's Yoda mask. It's so sad. He has a baseball glove in his hand and he's like, man, the memories.
Yeah, you also get the impression that, like, mom only visited him on Thanksgiving because the doctor was like, this is the first time I met this mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was, like, out of sight, out of mind.
So then our group of young people, Andrea, Karen, Greg, and Artie, they're still having fun. They're playing video games, making out, doing some heavy special effects makeup for a prank, like you do. Andrea takes a shower to get all that makeup off, and at the same time, Maddie is absolutely losing her mind.
Yeah.
She's calling the operator saying, this is a real emergency.
Yeah.
Operator, I'm begging you. It's like, ma'am, he's not answering. There's nothing the operator can do.
She trauma dumps on this poor operator. She's like, sorry, I'm just a little stressed out because my son, he left school. Nobody knows where he is. Actually, he's not at school. He's in a facility. Actually, it's not a facility. It's a mental asylum.
Yeah. Greg and Andrea decide to play tennis, of course.
Yeah.
We learned earlier that she likes tennis. And Terry's kind of spying on them. There's a part where they hit the ball out. She goes out to find it. She doesn't find it, but Terry's the one that throws it back.
It kind of rolls into scene.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the scene in The Shining with the ball. Uh-huh. And I think in The Changeling, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Greg tries to pull Andrea into a kiss, but all of a sudden, she's like, not here. I've got a much better idea. So I'm thinking, like, they're going to go back to her house.
Yeah, she has a house.
So instead of calling the cops, Maddie is telling her life story to the operator still. And then we cut back to Greg and Andrea, butt naked on the diving board at the public pool. Like, that's a better idea.
My mouth dropped open.
They're both completely naked.
They're inside profile and he is between her legs, gently thrusting. Like, you see his buns moving. And I was like, is this, what's the movie? The Donald Sutherland movie where everybody says that they're actually fucking in it?
Don't Look Now.
Yeah. It's like, this is a Don't Look Now situation because this looks pretty real. I was shocked.
And so was Terry. Terry didn't it. He says, you stop that before killing them both.
He's such a fucking hater.
No drinking, no sex, only weed for him.
Yeah.
So then we have Terry scaring Artie and Karen, but they all start laughing.
Yeah, he cock blocks Artie. He's trying to put the moves on Karen.
I mean, it was a much better match for her.
Yeah, absolutely. And clearly, Terry is not fulfilling her needs physically or emotionally.
Yeah. Terry and Karen go back to his place, but Artie is held at gunpoint by Todd, who tries to convince him that it's not him, but actually his brother Terry, who is murdering everyone. They go back to the house, and they actually interrupt Terry and Karen, who are finally making out.
I wonder what the end game was here.
I don't know.
I felt like he was going to kill her.
Possibly. He seemed excited for once. Maybe all the murders got him excited.
Oh, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that.
So Artie like takes him, but then he's just like, hey, your crazy brother's here pretty much. Yeah. And Todd sees Terry and he flees, leaving Artie with Terry. And then they search for Todd and they find a pile of bloody weapons.
Yeah.
They're like going through him. And then that's when Terry repeats his famous line, this isn't cranberry sauce, Artie. Yep.
I know everybody in the audiences and all these packed theaters were like, yeah, whoa!
Terry pretends he sees Todd and then suddenly stabs Artie in the neck with the carving fork.
Oh, man. It's one of those little meat forks. And this is the same kitchen instrument that my grandpa used to get a snake out from underneath our stove when I was a kid. Because my parents weren't home and we did not know what to do. That's what I always think of, but we called it a pitchfork.
Oh yeah, mini pitchfork.
Yeah. Also good for catching snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So Karen soon discovers the truth about Terry and Todd when she runs into Terry carrying his machete and making his cranberry sauce joke again. And like, you just said
it. Yeah, by the last one I was like, that was one too many.
One too many. Yeah. The audience at that point, just a couple of scattered like claps, not the full on mayhem of the second time. So he says the machete is Todd's, but then he's like, haha, just kidding. It's mine. And he starts to chase her around Shadow Woods, trying to kill her. She hides in an outdoor storage closet on a patio and then realizes that there's a body in there with her. I think it's Bill, the Pete Buttigieg guy.
Mm-hmm.
When she comes out, Terry is on the patio with Artie's body and he's making him clap his hands. Karen freaks out and runs away and Terry goes, you're no fun. Yeah. He's getting so cheeky now. Karen flees to sexy Julie's house and discovers Terry there and he's pulling a machete out of Julie's chest. He attacks her. She fights Terry off and escapes, taking the baby with her.
Real quick. When she's like going place to place, at one point she goes to the house of the little girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But she doesn't let her in because of Todd's advice. Don't let anybody in, no matter what.
Good for her. She stayed out of it, honestly. Yeah. So yeah, she takes this baby with her, a thing I'd never do. I'd be like, I don't have to run fast. I just have to run faster than this baby. So after a very drunk Maddie contacts the police, she finds Terry's bloodied t-shirt in the garbage bin before making the horrifying discovery of Brad's body. She finally goes down there to his office instead of relying on the operator to come and check for her. I don't know.
Like, it's down the way.
Yeah, that's why I was like, just get up and go. So she finds Brad's body, and he's kind of sitting at his desk with his head in his hands, like he's going over some paperwork. She nudges him, and his head slips out of his hands and splits open on his desk like a watermelon.
Yeah, it looks really good, I thought.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. It's fun. So at the swimming pool, Terry has found Karen with the baby.
Oh, we should say the indoor swimming pool. This is a different pool, right? This what?
No, it's the same one.
Oh, it looked different. I thought one was outdoors and one was in.
That where they were fucking?
Yeah.
No, it's the same one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was inside. You can't fuck outside. It's cold. It's Thanksgiving.
That's why I was so shocked.
That's why you were shocked? Not because...
No one's going to see him inside. They're fine. Now I'm okay with it.
It's just a little risky. So he finds Karen with the baby. He toys with her. She runs away, and she finds Greg and Andrea's bodies in the sauna. She hides from Terry. He comes in and makes some fun jokes about the bodies. He's like, he sees him in the sauna, and he goes, you guys will do it anywhere. Todd arrives, and Karen pulls an empty gun on evil twin Terry. He throws her to the ground and does the same thing he did to frame poor Todd, poor good twin Todd, the first time around. He smears blood on Todd's face and puts the machete in his hands. Todd yells, no! And then they dive into the pool and they start wrestling around a little bit.
Major wig alert here.
Yeah.
Because it's the same actor playing both twins, so every time it's like the back of one of them, you can clearly see the wig.
Yeah, they tried, but A for effort, I guess.
I mean, they probably didn't have a big budget.
Yeah.
They did okay.
As Todd is pulled out of the pool by Karen, Maddie, their mom, appears and shoots Terry, killing him. She falls to the floor, cradles Todd, and tells him she loves him and apologizes to him. She says, it's just us again. You're my whole life. It gets like weirdly passionate when she tells him he's such a good boy. She doesn't need to be with anybody else because he's the bestest. The best.
The bestest.
So this got weird. It went on for like a long time. And then I was like, are they going to kiss?
That's what I thought with all her scenes. They just went on like a little too long.
It was wild. Todd looks very relieved that like finally everything is right until mom says, it's just us, Terry. Todd is gone.
Yeah. Ooh! So rude.
Oh my God. She thinks she has killed Todd, not Terry. Todd starts going, I'm Todd. I'm Todd. And she's wailing and throwing herself around. And she's going, I'm Todd.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah. Upon realizing that she has killed Terry and not Todd, she becomes distraught. And also, hello, poor Todd is very upset. As the film concludes, a hysterical Maddie commits suicide by shooting herself in the head while Todd watches. Karen takes off with the baby. I don't know why I would wait for the police and be like, here, take this. Police sirens are heard in the distance while Todd's fate is left unknown.
That's it.
The end. So this is a movie about twins doing a reverse parent trap.
Yeah.
Doing twinanigans to stop their mom from getting married, right?
Well, one is.
Yeah.
For sure.
If you have one twin doing a parent trap, the other one just is by default.
Yeah.
That sucks. So what do you think, Corey?
I think this movie's really fun. It's like a good movie to watch around Thanksgiving with a group of friends. I think I really like the gore, so that like puts it a little bit higher than it would be otherwise for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy it.
I think it's pretty good too. Everybody seems to really be having a lot of fun. In particular, Louise Lasser, who plays the mom, and Mark Soper, who plays Terry and Todd, they seem to be having a really great time. She is not just chewing the scenery. She swallows it. She shits it out. Like, she was really going for it. She does seem like she's in a different style of movie. She kind of reminded me of Karen Black in House of a Thousand Corpses.
Mm-hmm.
Like a really, this movie is kind of campy, but she is like extra campy. She is in from some drama. I don't know.
Yeah, she kind of reminded me of, what's the mom from Far From Home's name?
Oh, Susan Tyrell?
Yeah, Susan Tyrell could have played this role as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah, that's a good connection.
Another thing I liked about this movie, because I feel like it has like a lot of the slasher tropes, but at the same time, the plot is different than most slasher movies that you would think of.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of twin slashers.
There's at least one other one I can think of.
Well, that's not a lot.
Two.
That's still not a lot.
Yeah.
There is no Malton movie guide. Leonard let us down this week. That's okay. I give this one an 8.
Ooh.
I'd watch it again. I thought it was fun. I had a lot of fun the second time I watched it.
I'm going to give it a 7, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's good.
And yeah, it's one I could watch every year, I think.
Yeah, totally. I think it would be fun to watch with other people. I liked it. Sometimes when I watch them the second time, I'm like, okay, I like just getting through it. But this one, I still had a lot of fun. Like, I kind of liked stuff more.
Yeah.
You know, like the little jokes and stuff that Terry was making were pretty funny. I love when he says it's not cranberry sauce.
The first two to three times.
That isn't cranberry sauce, Artie. That is not cranberry sauce.
So our next movie, Corey and I, we might learn the true meaning of Christmas.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I've been wondering.
Me, too. I just can't figure it out.
We're going to watch Elves. I think this is going to be the missing piece. This is the key to everything.
I mean, how could it not be?
Yeah.
1983?
89.
Oh, 1989.
Yeah. This movie is available on YouTube, the whole movie.
Please watch it.
Yes. So it's on YouTube. Check it out if you can. All right. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, please.
Yes. Please give us 4 stars or above.
Only.
Otherwise, don't bother.
We don't want to hear it. Okay. Donate to the Bakersfield Burrito Project.
Yes.
Fuck the Pilgrims. And fuck Christopher Columbus, too, since we didn't get a chance to say that before. Right? Cosign?
Agreed.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on Gag Me with a Chainsaw with your hosts, Corey and Sarah. Music by White Bat Audio. Find us on Twitter at Chainsaw Podcast and on Instagram at Gag Me with a Chainsaw. Until next time, unpleasant dreams.